Turn, if you would, to John 9. While you turn over there, again, I appreciate the invitation to come, and I believe it's been a good week. People ask me how the services go. I say, well, you really need to talk to them, but it's from my perspective, it seemed to have gone well. Appreciate your faithfulness, your attendance, your support, your prayers. Thank you for those who provided the food for me and all the provision there. Thank you for the five-star hotel in the back there in the suite. And so appreciate the opportunity to enjoy that accommodation as well. But thank you again for this opportunity to share. And so I wanted to speak that this morning. And I'll again say thanks this afternoon, but not to that extent. But appreciate it so much for this opportunity. John chapter 9 will be our text today. John chapter 9. I want to read verse 35 through verse 38. John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. We all know that there are those who think they see but do not. They possess the faculty of sight, but they cannot perceive. Despite how much a thing might be shown unto them, they do not know. We say of them, they just can't see it. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. That is, there are those who believe they see the truth, but in fact they are misled and they are blinded. No matter how long you might try to persuade them, they just can't see it. The Pharisees were like that. They were convinced they were of God and held to the truth, but Jesus declared unto them that they were blind. Matthew 23 records Jesus' words when he called them blind guides, fools and blind, and thou blind Pharisee. Warning them, ye serpents, you generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? In another place, Jesus said, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in a ditch. In fact, following our text in John chapter 9, some of the Pharisees asked Jesus, Are we blind also? Verse 40 says. To which Jesus replied, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. They thought that they understood spiritual matters, so they believed they had spiritual sight. But being misled, they actually were residing in blindness. You see, it is possible to think that you know, or be close to the truth, or be convinced that you have spiritual sight and yet be wrong. Fact is, if that be the case, you're blind to the truth. Fact is, having been blinded by the devil, you're yet in your sins. It is my objective to review the story in our text while zeroing in on the conditions of the man who received healing. For though he gained physical sight and he had pretty good insight and assessment of the person of Jesus, he remained spiritually blind. How tragic. So I speak to you a message which I have entitled, A Blind Man Still. A blind man still. And if that describes you today, I urge you to turn to Jesus Christ. Amen. A blind man still. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in your house once again with your people. And we ask that you bless your word as it goes forth. Speak it to our hearts by the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, cause those of us whom you save to rejoice in the salvation we have and for the sight that we have, the life that you've given to us. But our hearts go out to those that are lost and are missed. And we ask that you be pleased to convict and to draw. And Lord, cause the light to shine in them. Grant them life. Help them to recognize their condition and cause them to turn unto you. In repentance and faith, grant those graces to them. We ask that everything said and done would be for your glory, to your praise, We honor you today, and we love you. We ask your will would be done. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, let me offer you by way of context an overview of the story that we find our verses in. Jesus was passing through the temple court in an effort to escape the irate Jews who sought to stone him. And verse 1 of chapter 9 states that as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him as to the reason why this man was in this condition. Verse 2 says, "Who did sin, this man or his parents?" To which Jesus replied in verse 3, "Neither, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." After which Jesus healed the man by anointing his eyes with a mixture of saliva and clay, who then washed in the pool of Siloam and was healed. Long story short, everyone was amazed that this man could see, and he was brought to the Pharisees for questioning. This resulted in the denial of Jesus by the religious leaders of the day and the immediate expulsion of that sinner from the synagogue. You see, the problem was this man was healed on the Sabbath day. To the Pharisees, the healing was counted as a work or a labor, and such work or labor was strictly forbidden. The Sabbath was a day of rest. Therefore, Jesus was not a good man because he had violated the Sabbath. Hence, he could not perform such a miracle because he, that is, Jesus, was a sinner. And a dispute arose between the Pharisees and the newly sighted ex-blind man, and he was cast out. Not long after, Jesus found him and made inquiry. Our text is the record of that event. So turn your attention to verse 35. And the question is raised to this man, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" Verse 35, "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Now, it's interesting to note that Jesus caught wind of this. This event occurred. These guys rejected the blind man, although he is sighted now. They didn't like what was going on, and they cast him out of the synagogue. And Jesus caught wind of that. He heard that the blind man was cast out and that the blind man had stood up for him. He had heard that and understood that the blind man was cast out for his sake. And that was a tremendous thing. That was very important to the Jews. So to be cast out of the synagogue was a major step. And this guy, all he did is just receive sight and disagreed with the leaders of the day. And so what we find in the text is Jesus knew these things, and it says in the scripture that he sought the man. I mean, he actually looked for him because it says, "And when he had found him." That tells me that Jesus heard this about him, and he went about the temple looking for this guy so that he could come up and talk to him. And so then when Jesus finally found him, he said unto him, and he raised this question to the guy that he had healed, and he says, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Jesus made direct inquiry. And I submit unto you that this is the most important question ever.
Amen.
I mean, for among men. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now, note that it is a personal question that every man must consider. Notice the personal pronoun thou. Jesus speaks to the guy and says, "Do you? Do you?" And I say, "Do you?"
Right.
It's personal. You have to answer this question. Whether you like it or not, Jesus found the man, asked the man, and he made it very personal. And I also want to make it very clear that as the Bible describes to us the matter of salvation and forgiveness of sins, that this involves the faith of the person. It says, "Dost thou believe?" I believe the sovereignty of God. I really do. I believe what the scriptures teach concerning that. But I'll tell you what, God has ordained that we must believe.
Amen. That's right.
And if you don't believe, you can say, "Well, I believe in election and all that," all you wish. If you don't believe, you'll die and go to hell.
Amen.
I don't know if that's offensive to any of you or not, but I just express it that way because this is what the Bible says. Jesus asked the man, "Do you believe?"
Right. Amen.
Of course, those who are chosen will believe. But do you believe? That's the question, isn't it?
Right.
It involves the faith of the person. And the object of that faith is the Son of God. He says, do you believe, not in the church, not in baptism, not in circumcision, not in any other of the covenants, do you believe? What's the concern? Do you believe on the Son of God? Again, a key question today that you need to answer. And I ask you that question. Do you believe on the Son of God? Well, look into verse 36 then. I just entitled this verse, who is he?
Amen.
Who is he? Well, look what the text says. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And I believe, when I read the text, I get from this that the former blind man just answered without forethought. Jesus finds him, asks him the question, do you believe on the Son of God? Without thinking, the guy just turns around and says, who is he? He knows right off he doesn't know who the Son of God is. He knows there is no concept in his mind how to answer that question. And so he answers honestly. You know what? That's a good question. I really don't know how to answer that. So who is he? That's a good question, isn't it? Now, in this case, I submit unto you that ignorance is not bliss. Every now and then we run into individuals in our lifetimes and they say, oh, you know what? Ignorance is bliss. Not here.
Amen.
When the question is raised about, do you believe on the Son of God? And you say, well, who is he? Well, that's ignorance. And ignorance is nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing wrong with being ignorant. You just don't know. That's all that means. But at least the guy recognizes he does not know and just raises the question back. Well, who is he? Okay, you ask me a question, I ask you a question. Who is he? Because you know what? I'm interested now. That's what I see the blind man expressing unto him. Although we might be ignorant, and again, ignorance is nothing to be ashamed of, ignorance can keep you from the right response. I mean, if you just don't know the answer, you can't respond properly. He says, who is he that I might believe on him? And if he stays in ignorance, if he doesn't get an answer to that question, he will remain in ignorance and he will remain blind spiritually and he will remain lost and dead. So you may say, well, I'm not really positive about who he is. Then you need to learn of him. I urge you to learn about Jesus. And that's the good thing. All the services I've been, which of course I've known you guys for years, but you all talk about Jesus and you preach about Jesus and you express Jesus. You should have some understanding of who Jesus is.
Amen.
And so I look into the text and he just raises this question, who is he? And I then notice that I believe there's a recognition of Jesus. Now he calls him Lord. Who is he, Lord? Now, that's the common term in the New Testament scripture for Lord. It means Lord or Master. It means a sovereign. Certainly is applied to power and deity. But in this situation, I believe at this stage, this guy says, who is he, Lord? He's not responding to Jesus in the sense that you and I call Jesus as Lord. Because he doesn't know him. He's questioning. Who is he, Lord? But what he is doing is he's showing a title of respect. And it's just their culture. And so he calls Jesus Lord. And I also believe that this is an address of authority. And I'm going to offer you some proof why I would say that. That he sees Jesus as a man of authority. And so he calls him Lord just because he respects him, because he sees that he has authority about him. And this is really a description of response. Who is he, Lord? After all, Jesus had just healed him, had he not? Would he not desire to submit to him? So it makes sense to me that he would call him Lord. You're the one that just gave me sight. And so I'm going to respect you and honor you and call you Lord. Now, as we think about this question that he raises up, does he know who Jesus is? He really doesn't understand who the Son of God is. And he really doesn't have a full comprehension of this guy that stands before him. But what I want to express to you, what I want to show you through the story As we look back at some of the verses in the text, I would like for you to consider this man's perspective, the blind man's perspective of Jesus Christ. This is the key to my message, by the way. If you miss this point, what I have in an objective through the text will just go right over your head. So listen, if you will, and look into the text and see. Now, we don't know if he had any prior knowledge of Jesus. We don't know if he'd heard about him before. We don't know if he ever encountered him before, or the disciples, or any of that. But what we do have is what's listed in the text. And what does he know about this Jesus? Look back into verse 11. I discern from the passage that here's this ex-blind man's perspective. In verse 11, the first part of the verse says, he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay. One thing he knew about his name. He knew him by name only. The guy by the name of Jesus. There's not a whole lot of information after that. There are some things that we discern through the passage, but he's still basically in ignorance of who Jesus is. But he knows him by name. Verse 11, the latter part of that text, he accepted Jesus as a healer. He says, this man called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. He doesn't know a whole lot about this guy, but he says, there's a guy named Jesus and he healed me. He's a healer. Verse 17. You'll just have to read the entire context on your own time. But in verse 17, the last part of the verse, he figured Jesus to be from God. I realize that and recognize that because in his response to these Pharisees who's questioning him, he said, he is a prophet. Here's a blind man, the ex-blind man stating that Jesus is a prophet. Now, he really kind of leaps from the first aspect of, I just know his name and he's a healer. Now he's recognizing, he's starting to come clearer to him. He's a prophet. So you see he's developing a little bit in his understanding of who this guy is. Verse 24, verse 25, the first part of that verse that however, we find that he was unsure of Jesus' status. It says, then again called they the blind man, the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. That's the Pharisees' take on him. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Why? He's just being honest. I mean, the guy healed me. I think he's a prophet. But really when it comes, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. And so I see that he's just not quite sure yet of who this Jesus really is. And so then if you look into verse 27, we do recognize that in his expression, he saw Jesus as a leader or teacher, if you will. And the reason I say that is because he asked the Pharisees this question at the end of verse 27, will ye also be his disciples? Well, that's a strange thing. He really doesn't, he's getting closer, you know what I mean? He's getting closer to the nail with the hammer. He's honing in on it a little bit. So much so that, well, he doesn't even know whether he's a sinner or not. He thinks he's a prophet, but he's still unsure. And yet he offers to the Pharisees, you need to be his disciples. That's a statement. These are the leaders of the day. This is the religious elite. And he's asking the question of these guys, will you be his disciple? That means Jesus had authority. I said that I would demonstrate that he had authority. He believed that. He had some understanding of that, some sort of concept. And as he goes through the passage and what we have recorded for us, more sure now, he states that Jesus was no pagan, infidel, or unbeliever. First part of verse 31, when they said, now we know that God heareth not sinners. We know that God does not hear sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God, he doeth his will, he heareth him. The guy responds to the Pharisees and says, we know God doesn't hear sinners. So now he comes to the understanding that Jesus is not a pagan, he's not an infidel, and he's not an unbeliever. He doesn't classify him as a sinner. Not too long ago, we just saw in maybe a 5-10 minute span, I have no idea how long it took for this discussion, where he says, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. Now he's coming down here and he said, no, wait a second. We know that God doesn't hear sinners. So now he's putting the dots together and saying, well, this guy healed me. And you know, the Pharisees are saying, well, there's no way he could have healed you because he's a sinner. And yet he's saying, well, I've been healed. So wait a second. You see, he's developing in his mind a little bit about Jesus Christ and who he is. And so he concludes, as we see in the last part of verse 31, that Jesus is a worshiper of God. If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. So he knows that God heard Jesus' prayer because he'd been healed. So now he sees that Jesus is a worshiper of God. And then we get this leap in verse 33 that not only that, he believes that Jesus was authorized by God. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. You see how he evolves in his understanding of Jesus? I submit unto you that despite all that he understands and or thinks about Jesus, he still lacks in the genuine knowledge of him. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? And he said, well, who is he? Yet pick up on everything that he understood. Though he can see, he's a blind man still. He's advanced, but he's still blind. Now he accepts Jesus' challenge to believe on the Son, but he just doesn't know who that is or how to believe on him. And so he said in the text in verse 36, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Three things very quickly this brings out to me is, first of all, this expresses interest. I mean, he heard about Jesus and he's been asked about the Son of God. He doesn't quite know who that is and what all that means, but he's interested. Oh, I do pray that you're interested.
Amen.
This also, secondly, expresses willingness. Who is he that I might believe on him? Sad thing is, so many are unwilling. They might be interested. They might have an understanding that's been taught them or shown will be shown unto them, but then they're just not willing. They don't care. And I've met my share of people down all through my life and ministry since I've been saved, people that are curious about Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to share the gospel with them, and yet they just really have no willingness. They don't. And they're never saved. And what a sad thing that it is. I like this guy because he says, well, who is he that I might believe on him? I'm interested and I'm willing. But that thirdly, this also tells me that this is an expression of inability. Who is he that I might believe on him? Without this knowledge of who God is, without an answer, if Jesus left him, if he was swept away, if the people that were seeking after Jesus all of a sudden caught up with him and then he had to run and leave this guy behind, this fellow's in deep trouble because he's still a blind man. He's interested. He's willing. But he doesn't have all the answers yet. And so he's unable. I think this expresses an inability. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I'm still lost. I still need a Savior. Well, that brings us to verse 37, where Jesus responded to him, and Jesus said unto him, that thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. In simple response, Jesus just says to him, well, you've both seen him, and he's the one that is in discussion with you right now. Now, when I look at verse 37, and I see that first phrase, thou hast both seen him, I struggle with that phrase a little bit. Because to me, the phrase itself connected with the second phrase, I see the first phrase as a previous encounter. May well be the very fact that when Jesus came into the crowd and saw him and then healed him and made the saliva and the clay and anointed his eyes, maybe that's the reference. Before he ever had sight, he came into contact with Jesus. It's possible he could have met him before or heard about him before. I don't know that, but at least within the text, I know that the guy shows has encountered Jesus. Because Jesus says, thou hast both seen him. But he didn't see him until after he was healed. As a matter of fact, after he was healed, he didn't see Jesus because he'd gone to the pool of Siloam to be healed. And by the time he looked around, Jesus was gone. So I'm not quite sure how to understand that. Thou hast both seen him, the idea. But he says, and it is he that talk with thee. Either way you slice it, what Jesus is saying unto them is that, you know what? I'm in your presence right now. Regardless of what that means about, well, you've seen him, you know, you encountered him when I healed, you know, when he healed you, which was, of course, Jesus is the one that healed him. But now he's just standing before Jesus. And so I can just see Jesus, in my mind's eye anyway, I'm the one. I'm standing right here before you. You're talking to him. You ever have that happen to you in the workplace or something like that? And they go, oh, we're looking for so-and-so. Well, you're talking to him. We want to see the manager. You're talking to him. We want to see the owner. You're talking to him. This guy says, well, who is he, Lord? Who's the Son of God? You're talking to him.
Amen.
Can you see that? I can just see a great big smile go across Jesus' face. You're talking to him. It's me. It's me.
Amen.
And what Jesus does, he just clearly states that he is the Son of God. Now, everything that this guy understood up to this point, they're good things. Hopefully I demonstrated you through the passage his understanding and the awareness of who Jesus, who he thinks he is anyway. Now he can add this to the resume. That list I gave you before, you can tack it on. Oh, this guy's the Son of God. So if the Pharisees hit him up a little bit later on, he can say, oh, I know exactly who he is. He that talks with thee is what Jesus says. What a blessing that is. And notice this guy's response. Verse 38. I titled the point of the message, I believe, because that's the response. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Called him Lord. That's the same word he used earlier. Wasn't an expansion on the term? I don't know that. I can't recognize that. But and he says, I don't know who the Son of God is. And Jesus said, I'm the one. And he's still standing before him. And he just said, well, I believe. Lord, I believe. So what we have here, very simply, is a personal recognition and address. He did call him Lord. He still sees him as something more than just a man, something beyond that. And maybe he did make the leap to deity. I don't know that for sure, but he uses the exact same term and calls him Lord. I do pray that you understand who Jesus is. That he is indeed Lord. That he is the Son of God. He gives a personal recognition and address. And then there's a personal response. I believe. I believe. You know, way back in 1974, that's what God did to me. God brought me to the place where he showed me who he was, what he has done. And God brought me to the place where I believe.
Amen.
Simple response from the guy. All the way up to this point, he's unsure of who he's talking about. Till Jesus inquires and says, do you believe on the Son of God? Well, I really don't know who that is. Who is he? I'm the one. You know what? I believe you.
Amen.
I believe you. I think the guy was saved.
Amen.
Before our verses, he wasn't saved.
Right.
He was a blind man still, despite all that he understood about who Jesus was. He was still lost and he was still dead and he was still blind. But now in this exchange, which we read within our passage, now he knows who Jesus is. God's opened up his heart. He has a comprehension of that. And God worked in him, convicted in him, drew him, and he says, I believe. I believe. And then I want to point out one other thing as we come to the end. Verse 37. I want you to note the personal reaction. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him.
Amen.
I like that. Guy was in ignorance, but then when he comes to an understanding, recognizes who Jesus Christ really is, he responds to him, he believes on him, and he worshiped him. Simple story, isn't it? Let me offer you in closing a summary. Well, we know about the early part of the story. Jesus heals the guy and he goes wash in the pool of Siloam. But Jesus then sought the ex-blind man. That's where we picked it up in our text, right? Jesus went after him. Jesus found him. And then Jesus challenged this ex-blind man. Then Jesus revealed himself to the ex-blind man. Simple thoughts in the text, is it not? And the ex-blind man, but still spiritually blind man, then responded in belief. See how God was working in his heart and working in his life? That's the whole story. That's a summary of what we looked at in the past few moments. And what this teaches me is that a person can know about Jesus, but not know him. And that's a tragic thing. Think through the passage, ponder it this afternoon or tomorrow, sometime. Go through that in detail and see how much this guy really knew about Jesus. I tried to express it to you. I told you if you didn't get that, you're going to miss it. All that this guy knew, but he still did not know Jesus. But he was a recipient of God's blessings and he had good awareness. Yes, he did, but he was still spiritually blind. He was a blind man still. Are you a blind man still? I've been in church and I've come here for 40 years or whatever, and I've heard about Jesus. I know about Jesus. I could tell you about Jesus, but are you a blind man still? Don't be like this guy and remain in blindness. Don't get to the point where you're still a blind man. What I want you to do is see who Christ really is and repent and believe, just like this guy then did. And I submit unto you that true belief is in the Son of God is your only cure.
Amen.
Clear out of the text, just straight as it is. Do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he? It's me. I believe. True belief in Jesus Christ is your only cure. And I submit that like the blind man who really now sees, if a person truly believes, he or she will worship Jesus. Can't leave that part off, can we? Because I find that there are people in our society that claim to know, they have great understanding and knowledge, but they aren't found to be worshiping Jesus. And why would that be? I know people who profess Jesus Christ, and I've tried to shake them from their profession. When I compare with their life and their activity and their speech and their thoughts and all that, and I try to shake them from that, why aren't you a worshiper of Jesus?
Amen.
I think that's cause for question. But I like this guy because he said, I believe, and he worshiped him. That's an indicator of true faith in Jesus Christ. It's a simple question today, but something that you might want to take to heart. Just depends on the condition of your soul. Are you a blind man still? It's worth asking.